Hi, this is Melissa Gilbert, and you are listening to the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
If you like what you hear, let us know by becoming an official supporter of the Pop Culture Preservation Society on Patreon. This show is created, researched, produced, distributed, edited, and paid for by us, Kristen, Carolyn, and Michelle. And your support allows us to keep the lights on and keep on trucking. For the price of one or two cups of coffee a month, you can become a supporter by going to poppreservationists.com and clicking on the Patreon link. Or go to our link in bio on Instagram and find the Patreon link in our link tree. We appreciate you and thank you so much for helping us do what we love.
Ladies, today is a really special day for the Pop Culture Preservation Society. On this day, 3 years ago, November 27th, 2020, the very first episode of our podcast dropped. Happy podcast anniversary!
Congratulations, you guys.
What? Mm-hmm. I can't even believe it. 145 episodes or more?
It feels like our golden anniversary because there are three of us. So there are three people, and it's our third anniversary. So it's our golden anniversary.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Without a doubt.
And also, that's a pandemic 3 years, which either means, like, it feels like 10 years or 10 minutes.
Yeah, depending on the day.
Depending on how time works for you. Yeah.
It's all a construct. Mm-hmm. Well, for those of you who are new to the class, episode one of the PCPS is called Caught in a Teen Dream. I love that title because it's the origin story of our podcast, which has a lot to do with Sean Cassidy. And what is absolutely bonkers is that 3 years later, we have now actually shared that story with him, like in real life, to his face.
I have to like go back to the pandemic 3 years thing because the trajectory of this.
Sorry. Rookie. 3 years later. Still leaving her phone on.
I know. And I'm confused by the face on the phone and everything. I'm going to go back to that pandemic 3 years idea because the trajectory of this podcast in a very short period of time is astonishing. It is mind-boggling to think that we went from talking about Sean Cassidy to talking with him, from being complete know-nothings to credible creators and purveyors of entertainment in the same amount of time that it would take to like pick out a paint color or something like
true,
that.
Yes.
And it feels fast. It feels lightning fast. And yet, at the same time, it feels utterly natural. I do not have imposter syndrome.
No.
Which is
the first. I mean, the trajectory seems so natural. Like, we didn't hire PR people to go out and say, look, listen to this great podcast. It was just very authentic and genuine, which I think really helped us feel so natural. It's like our confidence built at a
good
really
point.
Good pace that by the time we did get to talk to Sean Cassidy, we felt like we belonged there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, I also think because go all the way back to 3 years ago when we were just newbies and knew nothing, but we believed in ourselves. We believed in our podcast. We believed in the mission of our podcast so greatly that I think that is one reason that we have felt that this has been kind of natural. Because of our belief in ourselves and each other and in the podcast. Although I will always say it, go back and whisper in our ears 3 years ago, all the people we would have talked to, especially Sean Cassidy, and watch our reactions.
Mm-hmm. We hit 100 episodes, you guys, back in December of last year. Mm-hmm. We recorded a really fun retrospective about how far we've come and all we've learned. And to say we've grown even more over the past 45 episodes, well, that would be the understatement of the year. We have realized our bucket list dreams. We've met fans. I mean, I'm just going to say it. People are come up and like, I'm your number one fan. And we're like,
that's
we have
so
fans. I know.
We're your number one fan.
Right. It's crazy. You know what? I just remembered. Last night I had a dream about my friend Dax, but it was professional. We were just talking about our podcast.
Oh, that's good. Sure.
And I was
You yes. weren't turning in your hall pass.
Just to talk to him. That's really, ladies and gentlemen, all my hall pass really is to just be in the mm-hmm. same
yeah, me too.
Room and just chat mm-hmm. with him. But we were chatting podcast stuff, and I remember a listener telling me this in real life, and I was sharing it with him in my dream, but that what an intimate relationship it kind of is that our listeners have with us, because they hear us in their ears. And a lot yeah. of you on a weekly basis for 100 and...
Sorry, yeah, yeah, I don't know what this episode is, but let's just say it's more than 140.
We are grateful that you choose to have us in your ears.
That is very intimate.
So I was sharing that with Dax. I was mm-hmm. giving him... Yeah. He hadn't thought... Yeah. He
had, oh, that's he right. Your dream.
About
okay.
that aspect of how intimate the relationship can feel between listener and podcaster.
It is by far this, in the 45 episodes or 54 episodes or however many we've had this year, this one year is the most eventful year of my entire life. Mm-hmm. By far. It's hard to put into words how much growth and fulfillment I feel from this one single year. And a lot of that is because the release of my first book intersects with the listeners of the Pop Culture Preservation Society. Like, these people came out in force. I know I've said it over and over again. I know I sound like a broken record. I'm so sorry. The success of Worldwide Crush is carried by the listeners of the Pop Culture Preservation Society. And not only am I incredibly grateful, but it makes me feel like I've found my people over the last 154 or 45 episodes. Like, we've formed a special club. And all anyone ever wants in a lifetime is to be part of a special yeah. club, right?
We have a logo. I don't know.
Our club has a logo.
We're the coolest.
Well, despite all of this change and growth, a few things about our episodes have remained the same. For 3 years, exactly the same. In addition to our dedication to research and providing you all with quality episodes, top-notch editing and sound engineering, thank you, Carolyn, there are three things that appear in every single one of our episodes. First, it's our episode intro. I'm Carolyn, I'm Kristen, and I'm Michelle, and we are your pop culture preservationists. It's in every single one. The second is our theme song. And the third is that we close every episode with a toast. The same toast. A tiny comedic moment that I remembered from my childhood and put to good use. It's a scene from Three's Company in which the gang is toasting Larry's wedding, and they say, two happy days, two good times. And Suzanne Summers gets the punchline, and she shouts gleefully, "The Little House on the Prairie," which at 10 years old, I thought was the funniest thing that I had ever heard in my whole life. So John Ritter was supposed to be the comedy powerhouse on Three's Company, but they quickly found out that it was Suzanne Summers, and they thought she was window dressing, but that show mm-hmm. was nothing no. without Chrissy Snow. It was nothing. And when she died a few weeks ago, I had to raise a glass to her for that moment that stuck with me for 45 years and for the tenacity that she brought to an industry that right. grossly mm-hmm. underestimated her.
And that's why the show was not the same after she left, because she stuck, she in a very-
It was not.
Un-Chrissy Snow move, she stood up and said, I demand yep. more. I demand more money.
Because she knew she was as funny and as important to that show as John mm-hmm. Ritter. And she was like, mm-hmm. why wouldn't I get the same amount of money as John Ritter?
Right. Well, mm-hmm. she was, because I didn't ever watch it after she wasn't.
I never anymore. Watched it again. She stood up for herself and they fired her. And I never watched the show again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that that's our last. I love that we made that toast our own, obviously, mm-hmm. because we don't want to completely copy them. But I love that that's something that stood the test of time for all of our episodes for the past 3 years. And especially now, I feel like now that she's passed, it takes on a different meaning to me when we say it each time.
It really does. It really points out that she owned that moment and mm-hmm. we use mm-hmm. that moment. And we honor her every single week. Yep. I do want to point out, too, that she went on, after she was released from Three's Company, she went on to be an entrepreneurial juggernaut, oh, right? Yeah, she was yes. the very definition of a working woman, and she never stopped. She always had a new product, and she was an absolute natural at selling those products mm-hmm. till the day that yeah. she died.
And so respected.
So respected.
By so many people. I don't think I realized that until after she passed. How yeah. I always had heard what a nice person she was, but I don't think I really, you know, nice and respected, kind of, especially when you're talking about women mm-hmm. in and, well, just women in general, but sometimes those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They should. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I didn't realize that, that how intelligent and respected she was.
She was very shrewd, a very shrewd businesswoman, and people knew it.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too.
Well, today, while the three of us are actually hard at work recording a fun season 11 for you. That's going to take us into 2024, guys. And we're going to be also celebrating 3 years of the PCPS today at some point. I'm assuming
there's a party later.
The two of you will be raising a glass at some point tonight and cheersing 3 years, November 27th, 3 years. That's cause for a celebration.
It is, yeah.
We're giving you today an encore of our 100th episode retrospective because it's such a great conversation about where we started and how far we've come. And we're really proud of that. We hope you enjoy episode 100. And thanks so much for listening and supporting us these past 3 years. We would not still be trucking without you.
I think I thought we would do 6 episodes. I thought that would be like, we're going to do a little series. It's going to be a little project. It's going to be, we're going to do 6 episodes on pop culture. And it just kept going.
Hello world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who had no limits on their screen time and learned about making love on AM radio. The same people who learned how to count from Sesame Street, how to read from Electric Company, and how to speak Ubby Dubby from Zoom, which also taught us the zip code for Boston, Massachusetts. 02134.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we are celebrating our 100th episode with a look back at all the best memories, the big moments, the buckets of tears and laughter, and yes, even the blunders and bloopers. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle, and we are your pop culture preservationists.
A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Happy 100 episodes, you guys.
Woo-hoo!
We did it. Oh my gosh, I am so excited. I cannot believe it because you guys know when I embark on creative endeavors, very rarely do I finish them. If you looked around my office right now, you would see several unfinished products. However, because of you two, I have seen this through, and we have 100 episodes under our belt. Can you believe it?
It's crazy. You know what, you guys? We can be syndicated. You know, remember?
Oh,
like, well,
that's
true. Like, there's a threshold that TV shows have to meet
yes.
to get syndicated, mm-hmm. and it's 100 episodes. And you know, it's always a big deal. You see them bring out the giant cake with the 100, and the whole cast
yes,
is around it.
Yes.
We need a cake. Did anyone remember a cake?
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
I really wanted to call this episode Celebrate Good Times. Come on!
Good times, come on! Let's celebrate.
And that's my choreography in my sixth grade talent show was
okay,
when we went like this.
Choreography.
We went, no, just watch. We went, it's so good though. We went, come on. Do you see what I'm doing? Come
no,
on. Da, 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 da.
It's
and then it was like jazz hands.
Jazz
it was
hands.
Two jazz hands, you guys. And then when the music went da, 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 we just stood there and wiggled our jazz hands.
This might be a
right
record.
Now. Come on.
I'm thinking this is a record of the earliest we've gotten to the dance moves.
We're still in the intro, and we've already got the jazz hands out.
Yeah, our jazz hands are going.
If you guys know nothing else, there will always be singing and dance moves in
this is true, and I will learn. Maybe 200 episodes, I'll actually dance. I'll surprise you all.
Well, you guys, we have come a long way in 100 episodes. I mean, 2 years ago, we were podcast newbies. We were tadpoles, hatchlings. We knew nothing, really. We really knew nothing when we started this, but I think we faked it pretty well. What do you guys think?
I know.
Yeah.
It's true. We didn't know.
I totally agree.
We knew not a single thing. But I kind of had the feeling that no one else knew anything either, because it's kind of like the wild west out there. So we might as well try. And I had heard plenty of podcasts that were half-assed at best, like people recording on their phones on their commute to work and stuff like that. I knew we could do better than that. So why not? Well, why also, not was my attitude.
Right.
The worst thing that would happen is no one would listen.
Carolyn, you say all the time, you'll thank us for jumping off this cliff with you. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's what we did. We all just kind of held hands and closed our eyes and
jumped. And we really did fake it until we made it. Although at times, I'm pretty sure I'm still faking it, you guys, but that's okay.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't know any better, then we'll go with that. And I think that our growth, not just our listenership and all of that, but our personal growth has been immense since we started this.
Agreed.
I don't want to speak for you guys, but I know that some of my proudest moments in this adventure have been when I've learned to ask for things from you and what I needed. Like that used to be really hard for me. And I've learned that. We've worked through some differences. We haven't always maybe seen eye to eye on things. And we really practiced some of the stuff we've learned in therapy, and it worked.
It's true. This is like therapy in action. It really is. And it makes me feel like such a grown up, because not only are we looking each other in the eye and not staking out our ground, instead of staking out our ground, we're like, what can we do for each other? What can we do for each other to make this all be okay? And then our therapists tell us what to do and we do it.
And I've had to learn what do we not do sometimes too, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you're doing something that isn't, you know, particularly helpful or something like that. So it's like, I think we've all been really mature about this whole over the past 100 episodes. And I think it all just boils down to the respect we have for each other, the love we have for each other. But I really do think it just goes down to how much we respect all the strengths we all bring and all the differences we bring to three. You know, it truly is three is a magic number. You know, the lyrics in that great little Schoolhouse Rock song, they say you need three, you know, three little legs to make a table. You need, you know, it's true. We would not be at 100 episodes, no way, no how, without everything the three of us bring, and without the way that we've worked together. Yeah.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
Because it's true, Michelle, like what you said, we're all very different people. We're extremely different, and we all bring good things to the table. And one thing that I've really learned is that sometimes what I think is best may be only one of the ways to be best. And it's not just that you learn to let go of what you want to happen. It's that you let go and recognize that somebody else's idea might also be good. And that, again, makes me feel like such a grown up.
Right. I mean, the trust that I think the self-trust, where I've been willing to stand my ground on things, or maybe, or the trust in you guys, like you just said, Kristen, maybe there is another better. Maybe my best isn't the best. And I think I've transferred those skills from what we do here in the mic and when we work together to real life.
That's true. Yeah.
Honestly, though, you guys, did any of us allow ourselves to imagine 100 episodes when we started this?
Oh, God, no.
I know I didn't. I don't think I could have thought that far ahead. I was just so happy to be in the room with you guys, so to speak, because we really weren't in the same room. But just to have these conversations was so fun. And getting through each recording seemed like such a win to me each week. And it was so nerve-wracking, yet really exciting and monumental. And I think I just really took it one week at a time for those first few months, because it was all so much. That was all I could do, is just focus on one week at a time.
We would have never started this thing if we were talking about 100 episodes down the line. And that was just biting off way more than we could chew. I really feel like, at least for me, I have put into practice some of those mantras I've said for so long, just like, just put one foot in front of the other, just what's right in front of you. Don't project out. And to allow myself to kind of not have something be perfect right away. And that's okay. And you guys have been great about that. And Christine, you'll always say, we're each other's boss. We don't have a boss.
Like, we don't have a boss.
And
yeah.
if I had waited till I thought the audio was perfect or I knew everything, again, we wouldn't have started.
We'd still be researching and perfecting.
Right. Exactly.
I think I thought we would do six episodes. I thought that would be like, we're going to do a little series. It's going to be a little project. It's going to be, we're going to do 6 episodes on pop culture. And it just kept going. All I could think about, like you said, Michelle, was what was right in front of me. I never forecasted ahead. I never thought, how long will this go? How many episodes will we do? I was seriously just doing the doggy paddle each and every right. day. Just get the stick and swim back to shore every day right. is what I did.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that for sure in the beginning. And as you guys know, when I asked you to take that leap, one of the things I said was, I don't even care if anybody listens to this. I am having so much fun having these discussions with you guys. But guess what? People listened.
We did.
Were gobsmacked. Oh my gosh. The comments we got, and the things people were saying that we were bringing them joy and connection, particularly during that pandemic time. I mean, that's when we took off. And I think that kind of helped us as well. But it was so, we got into this because of that power of joy and connection. We felt it among the three of us, and we couldn't help but want to share it. And you guys, there's actually some scientific evidence to back up this nostalgia. And recently, there's actually been more than a dozen studies that have measured how nostalgia affects us, the positive and restorative powers it has, and how it kind of can act like a buffer between some emotional unhealthy feelings and can be really a resource for us. And so I thought that was like, we are totally onto something. And there's a researcher I found, her name is Erica Hepper, and she's done some lecturing and research on nostalgia. And she said, nostalgia makes us feel safe, loved, and reminds us that others care about us.
Oh my God. That's exactly what it is.
It's exactly. And I also feel like that Dr. Erica and this article should have mentioned her podcast in it. Because
yeah, I think it was maybe,
when we're on the Today Show one day, we'll cite that article and we'll cite that science because, but it's true. It is true that we not only, our number one goal was not only to bring the same joy to others that the three of us felt through these shared memories, but it was also selfishly has to do with yourself and connecting to by sharing these memories with others. It's what you yourself are doing to connect to your child self. I actually
recently honor that little person.
Well, right. And you guys, I'm going to tell you, I recently had a reading done by a psychic when I was in Sedona, Arizona. And one of the first things she said to me that she knew, she said, oh, you connect with your child self like all the time. And I said, wow. I do. She also told me, like, you talk a lot. I was like, well, yes, that is true. But she was saying, keep it up, keep it up. And then she could tell when she said, do you want to ask me any questions about career, love, family, whatever. So we started with career. I said, sure. I would just be curious to see, you know, what you have to say about my career. And she said, what's your career? I said, podcast host. Well, of course, she immediately says, it's going to be great. It's going to explode. And, you know, all these things that could be very generic for a psychic to tell someone, right? That kind of toss a coin, right? And tell them either it's going to go terrible or it's going to go great. However, then she said, she started talking about what we do, and she had no idea what our podcast was about. She did not know the name of it. I could have been an economist. She had no idea what I did.
She probably would have known you weren't.
She talked about.
Michelle's face right now.
No, I just think economists. Like, and sorry to the economists out there, but I would think they're kind of boring and dull. Like,
oh, thank you.
No.
An insult has turned into a compliment.
All of a sudden, I like sit up a little straighter. Oh, thank you, Carolyn. No, but you guys, she felt that. She said the reason our podcast is going to be successful is because we are connecting people to their child selves. She said that. Wow. And I was
whoa. You're kind of freaking me out now, Michelle.
I know. And I said, I said, we do it all the time. And she looked, and I said, I kind of looked at her like, we already do that. Like, you know, but she looked at me and said, don't stop, because that's what it is that's making it a success. So that's, you guys, and the thing to me that just floors me is that's what our number one goal was. We didn't fall into that on accident. Yeah. We've made sure since episode one that we do that. So I think going forward, you know, episode 101, you know, we just keep that at the forefront of our minds too, that that connection is what's mattering, basically.
You know what else I think it is? I think there's this this historical knowledge that Gen Xers are these sandwiched in between people that kind of get swept aside. I know I've felt like that before. We've got these noisy generations on either side of us. And I think we found out that when people started listening, that we weren't the only ones who felt like our generation was getting swept aside. We're the quiet ones. We keep our heads down. We do the work without a lot of fanfare. And the fallout from that being that way is that no one else was paying attention to the Brady Bunch anymore. Right? They were the most reliable and consistent friends that any of us ever had, the Brady Bunch.
Really?
And I started, when I realized this, I started panicking. What if no one remembers the Brady Bunch anymore? Ever again? What does that mean for me? Does it mean my childhood didn't exist? So I started, prior to this podcast, this kind of private campaign in my mind to dig up these fossils and preserve them. And what we found out in doing this podcast, in bringing those fossils to the world, is that other people were yearning for that too. And then all those people were yearning, who were yearning for that, they found each other and a society was born.
I know. It's so
truly
great.
Truly. And I feel like we really did kind of give a gift to our listeners, because so many of them said, you know, I found my tribe. I've been always kind of the person everyone laughed at for liking the show or something. And to know that we've given them a place to be seen is just makes me feel really, really good.
Because this is an age when we start to become invisible. And I'm not going to let that happen.
Nope.
No, not invisibility on my watch here.
That's right. It's so interesting to go back 100 episodes. Back to late November 2020 is when our first episode was released, right smack dab in the height of the pandemic. And to remember what our process was at that time, because we have evolved. The way we prepare and research and record has turned inside out and upside down in that time. We've learned a lot and we've gotten better and better. We were reinventing the wheel like crazy. And you can hear it in those first recordings. We're still on the path to discovery in a lot of those episodes, whether it's the style or the content or the technology. It sounds different now, thank God. And I'm really proud of us for that. In fact, do you guys remember our first attempt to record an episode? Our very first attempt to record an episode.
I know which one you're talking about, where we had like nicknames and everything.
It was so bad.
And we had cords it was so everywhere. Awkward. I had piece of equipment that we had to plug into. And oh gosh, I feel sick.
It's really embarrassing. We literally thought this is what we were going to do. We literally thought that we were so clever and hilarious that we could just sit down and have an impromptu discussion and record it. And boom, that's an episode. We were so naive. It was painfully awkward. The recording was painfully awkward. We sounded like contestants on The Dating Game. Like, I'm Kristen, and I'm a children's librarian and a writer, and I like long walks on the beach at sunset.
Wait, do you remember? Can I just interject, though? Because then it actually went through about three other iterations, because then, Kristen, I think you said, you know what we need to do? We need to introduce ourselves based on like our birth year and then say something, but like in a clever way. So at one point, I said something like, I'm Michelle, born in 1969, the year of Sesame Street.
Like Miss America. It's like we're all stepping up to the mic to say from Minnesota, land of the dairy cow, right? It's just, it was so embarrassing. This is how we thought it would go. We were going to show up each week, and we had these little pieces of paper where we wrote topics on these little tiny pieces of paper, and we put them in my Hardy Boys lunchbox. Plan was that each episode we would open the Hardy Boys lunchbox and we would pull out a little piece of paper, and that would be our topic, and then discuss.
Kristen, I have one recording. I have totally forgotten about that idea. We thought that was brilliant, too.
Oh, yes. We thought we were so hilarious. And if you listen to it, you're never going to hear it. Let's just say that you're never going to hear it. It was so bad. So after listening to it, we're all like sheepish as shit. And so I said, okay, I have an idea. I'm going to talk about this. And then Carolyn, I would like you to talk about this. And then Michelle, I would like you to talk about this. And we're going to do it in this order. This was the birth of the outline. We started outlining. And what the outline allowed us to do was assign topics. Each of us would have a topic that we were responsible for. And this gave birth to the rabbit hole known as research. which, surprise, makes it so much interesting for the listener.
Oh my gosh, right. Well, and you know what? We get that a lot, that I would say overwhelmingly, our listeners do like that it's not just a conversation about the Bee Gees or a conversation about the Battle of the Network Stars or whatever, that it's not, it is that, but, and also it's some things you might not have ever known, things certainly we didn't know. Right. We took the research part of it very seriously, because that's one thing that I think is, I don't know, for me at least, it's the most fun to learn new things about these memories and these parts, these pop culture nuggets.
Yeah. And really, some of these episodes became more like documentaries, which is not what we forecasted at all. We thought we were just going to be so funny, just talking about our feelings. I mean, to say that we are learning things in our 50s is the biggest understatement of the history of the world.
Mm-hmm. That, there is no doubt. And if anyone out there is doubting the fact that, I'm in my 50s, late 40s, it's too late to learn anything new, we are proof positive that that is not the case. You are never, ever too old, because let's just say I went from not even knowing what that GarageBand app was that would show up on my computer and on my iPad, that I would delete it. I was like, it takes up a lot of memory. I don't have a band in my garage. I don't need this.
I don't have a band
now,
in my-
it is. I spend more time with GarageBand, I think, than I do with my husband. He's like my best friend.
Sorry, Andy.
But actually, what I do want to pass along is what happened in the beginning was I was probably spending, I'd say, and this is probably maybe a little bit overestimating, but probably about 30 hours in one episode just trying to click things together and make it all work. And because of, again, learning new things and not being afraid to try new things, I can probably say I spend about 10. So I've like cut it in, you know, a third of the amount of time. If that's not evolution, I do not know what is, truly.
In so many ways. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can I just say that the sound engineering part of it, I think this is the crowning achievement of our podcasting journey.
Absolutely.
And I have nothing to do with it. It's 100% Carolyn. The way she makes us sound like we're not repeating ourselves 10 times when we're trying to make a point. But more importantly, the way you incorporate clips of music throughout the dialogue is masterful.
Brilliant.
And it elevates the podcast to a more emotional listening experience. This is not beginner sound engineering. This is professional sound engineering. And I remember the first time that you faded something out. Like you took you put a music clip in and you faded it out. Oh, I couldn't believe it. We were like kindergartners printing our letters for the first time. We're like, oh, it didn't just like stop. The music faded out and it went underneath the words. I was just so impressed.
So impressed. I was like, listen to us.
And one thing where we're all the same is that we all have very high standards. And so I knew that if I was being nitpicky about something, I wasn't bothering you guys. That you guys also wanted the sound to be perfect. We weren't satisfied with it sounding like we were recording on our phones, where some people would be like, it's fine. None of us were okay with that.
No.
And I think that's where Carolyn became a professional sound engineer.
Yeah.
And there have been things that I've asked Carolyn to do that I seriously wondered if they were even possible. And lo and behold, she waves her magic wand and you get some truly stunning moments. Like in our AM Radio Gold episode, I could hear in my head how I wanted to introduce my favorite song from 1977. I could hear it. And it involved feathering in certain lyrics at certain times while I'm talking to help the listener understand how these moments of the song made me feel. And when she did it, it gave me goosebumps. And here's what it sounded like. And the synthesizer note is held, and then it modulates, and then it's held. And when I hear that, my heart jumps into my throat. Literally, right now, when I'm 54 years old, it jumps into my throat. Sometimes I'll gasp, ask Liam. Sometimes I'll hear the synthesizer, and I'll go, and then I wait for Andy Gibb to say,
for so long.
Goosebumps.
Oh my God. I love it.
I'm proud of myself.
You should be.
Good for you.
Another thing you do, and you've been doing for a long time, that every single time you do it, though, never fails to make me just like shake my head and wonder, like, God, that sounds so good, is when we all start singing, sometimes sometimes we decide that we shouldn't keep singing, but you pick up the lyric, like you'll let us start like three words. And then about three words in, it picks up with the person like Karen Carpenter, exactly on the same lyric that we fade out on, she fades in on. And it is like puzzling. It's like you're putting a puzzle together.
Yeah.
And every mm-hmm. time you do that, it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
Well, and I couldn't do any of that without the hard work that you guys put in editing. That truly is so helpful to me, because really I'm just putting into action the things that you all have painstakingly gone through the transcript of our episodes and, edited. And sometimes
let's give a big three-way high five right now then, everybody. Big three-way high five for our three is a magic number.
Three is a magic number. Okay, I have one other clip that I want to share with you guys where Carolyn just like nailed it and gave me goosebumps. So just like the Andy Gibb clip, I had a similar vision with our Free to Be You and Me episode. I had such feelings about that opening song on the album. And sometimes it comes down to just the smallest of details, like you just said, Michelle. And I needed Carolyn to help me highlight those details. And again, the result gave me goosies. Listen to this. And then they bring it to a close and you think it's over and it's silent, but then bump, 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 bump. Oh my God. And then it's time to dance, right?
When we started, we were pretty much throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what stuck, right? But when we dropped episode one, I don't think we had thought through what a season looked like. We had given zero thought to like how many episodes it made sense to do before we combusted and needed a break. We just recorded every week as we went for a year, basically. And that
deciding the topics on the fly.
Yes. And that is a lot of constant work for all of us. It's the writing, the researching, the prep, the recording, the line editing Kristen and I do, then the gigantic task, like we just were talking about, of actually making the audio edits and putting in all those wonderful sound bites that Carolyn does, plus the promotion of each episode on social media. And we did it like that for a year, for an entire year. Mm-hmm. But then last January, this is just another great example of how we've evolved. We started batch recording, where we basically go balls to the wall for a solid 3 weeks. We prep, write, research, and record. About seven, probably, of our 10 season, of our 10 episodes in a season, we do that in a 3 week period. And this is the time, listeners, where we're off, so to speak. This is when we're releasing those encore episodes. We are working our fannies off during those 3 weeks
to bring you the next season. Don't interrupt me during this time.
Don't ask me for anything.
Nope.
And then while we still have to do all the edits and the promotion that goes along with each episode, we have like 10 weeks to do it. And I know if it sounds complicated, if it sounds a little confusing, it is. There are many calendars. There are charts. There are diagrams. There are color-coded
things. Lots of infographics.
Oh, yes. It's not just a real easy thing we do, but we've realized this works better for us. It works better for the way we all work, too, because we are actually then able to, in those 10 weeks, throw vacations in, maybe throw in some time with our families, our husbands.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, it sounds like operational minutia, but you have to understand how dramatically it changed for us to do this method, because I was having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. I was trying to write a book and write and record podcast episodes every week. And oh yeah, trying to get my teenager through his last year of high school during a pandemic. And I was losing it. And we were at a crossroads. And it's a very stereotypical conundrum for women who are in charge of all of the things and still trying to make their mark in the world. You have to keep the lights on and be the primary caregiver, no matter what age your children are. And don't forget self-care, right? You have to put your own oxygen mask on first. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. And it was crashing down around me. And we had to figure out how to manage our lives in a more balanced way, or we wouldn't be able to keep doing it. And this method made that possible. It gave us wings, and it really grew the podcast.
We had a dream, we'd go traveling together, spread a little love, and it will keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.
Well, you guys, I thought it might be a little fun to share some stats with you over our past 100 episodes. I wanted to start with asking you two, do you have any idea what our most downloaded episode of all time would be?
Well, I thought for a long time it was Yacht Rock. Is it not Yacht Rock?
It is not Yacht.
It's not Yacht Rock. Okay.
It's not Yacht.
I'm going to say it has something to do with Sean Cassidy. So I'm going to say it was the one called Walking on Sunshine.
No, it is neither of those. And I was actually really surprised with the one that it was, considering it's a fairly new episode. Oh. So our other ones, you know, all these episodes are evergreen, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen from the beginning to episode one and go all the way through. So some of them have had a year and a half to gain downloads. But our most downloaded episode so far is From Jaws to Dirty Dancing. Our summer movie, I know, with over 2,100 downloads so far, which is pretty incredible when you think that only aired, I think it was August 1st, so a couple of months ago. So in that time frame, we have been in 2,100 people's ears, because these are actual downloads.
With that episode, because the amount of downloads we have per month is much higher than that, because people are listening to
episodes. Between like 12,000 and 13,000. But a lot of those people are, you know, our regular listeners. But that's pretty incredible. And we're probably at about 120,000 plus all time of our episodes.
Wow.
So you guys, just take a little, I don't know, deep breath with that.
Yeah, I think I have to, because it makes me feel really almost like I'm going to throw up.
I know.
I mean, it's amazing to me that people know our voices, people we've never met.
You're
that
welcome.
They're driving along in their cars and on their little dash, you know, the screen. Our faces are there now. They're listening to Spotify, and our little faces are driving along with them.
It will never not crack me up to see Dax Shepard's face, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes' faces in the square. And then in the square right next to it, because this is the way my podcasts seem to line up. Then there's us.
And Carolyn, Kristen, and Michelle.
Keeping some good company there. But I'm like, well, look, there we are right there with Dax Shepard and Jason Bateman.
That's funny.
It's also fun to see where folks are listening from. So our listenership, obviously, mainly hails from the United States. But our second and third countries are Canada and Australia. So we go down under. I can't do that. Like, you guys can. Down.
Oh, I love that you're trying.
Down under. I can't do it either.
That's on my goal for next year. What's even cooler, I think, is when I've looked at the countries that have listened, maybe not a lot, but we've been heard in Norway, Turkey, Romania, Venezuela.
What?
I mean, all across the globe, people have heard us. We are truly international podcasters.
Wait, that's crazy.
I'm going to put that on my business card now. International podcaster.
International podcaster.
International podcaster.
So, again, our voices have been heard in places we'll probably never go in our lifetimes. But, yeah, so those are some stats that just blow me away.
I wonder if it was, like, one of our listeners from, like, Nebraska who happened to be on vacation in Romania.
It might be, but I still like to.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big vacation spot.
When I see some
for Nebraskans
of the places, that our podcast is listened to, especially like during spring break, and we've got a lot in like Turks and Caicos, and I think,
funny,
okay, those must be
some
of our
listeners. How weird is that people are on their vacation when you could listen to anything, read any book?
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, I'm going to listen to Kristen, Carolyn, and Michelle while I'm sitting here on the beach.
That's a really good point, Michelle.
Thank you, people.
Well, we've created quite a back catalog of fun conversations, and it is impossible for us to choose a favorite. So throughout this episode, we're going to be interspersing some sound bites of some of our favorite moments. And one moment that I will never forget is when Melissa Gilbert shared some interesting Rob Lowe scoop with us. I just have this image of maybe you and Rob at the roller skating disco, or, you know, you were just saying you go roller skating. I thought, can you just imagine you guys like holding hands? Did you roll?
My best fantasy.
I don't know if I went roller discoing with him so much as I went with my girlfriends.
Mm. Okay.
We went out a lot, but we stayed in quite a bit.
Okay. Well, leave
this
it at that.
This is the information I'm here for, Melissa.
Right.
Laura Ingalls said they have basically warned me to not ask you. So thank you. You just gave me, you just gave it to me without asking.
Thank you.
And I'm a piece of my pie.
Okay.
We were 17 years old. What do you think we were doing? Playing tiddlywinks?
No. I know.
I know.
Well, sort of. I mean, if that's what you want to call it, sure.
Whatever you call it.
That's right.
Whatever you call it.
Whatever you call it. It was more like Twister, but
oh, you guys know I have goosebumps so again, all up and down. I mean, I have nipple lightning from this moment. That
and
was, and I think
didn't
I told
even
her
ask
this
her
is
for
what,
that.
No, and
she
I said this is the information I'm here for, Melissa, because that's right. It was like so proud of your book, so interested in your life now. But that dirt, wow, I loved it.
That was the slumber party moment of that was when we knew we weren't just interviewing a celebrity; we were having a friend over.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that she felt like she could tell us that too.
Right.
Absolutely.
It was just very
so
natural.
Funny. Yeah.
I loved it.
That
so,
was so funny.
Like Carolyn said, while we each certainly have episodes that speak to us more than others do, it's really like all 100 of them are our children. We labored with them. We birthed them. We nurtured them. And sure, we can have a favorite, but much like with our own children, it changes from day to day. Right?
Right.
So we asked our wonderful society of followers and listeners on Instagram and Facebook if they had one episode, one that stood out to them. And you guys, we were flooded with comments, DMs, emails, and there were honestly no more than a few episodes that were mentioned more than once. And that tells us we're doing something right. We're covering the Gen X pop culture landscape, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're providing conversations that speak to everyone.
Because it's not just about which ones they're listening to. They're naming things that are their favorite. And if nobody can name the same thing, they're not talking about which one is the best produced one. They're talking about the one that spoke to their hearts the most. Uh-huh. And we're speaking to everybody's hearts on a different day.
Isn't that amazing? And I think people are sometimes surprised at which episode affected them the most and why. And I know at least when they've shared those reasons, I'm like, that was never even on my radar that would be how somebody took that in.
And we give a lot of thought to the topics we cover. And we try to have a good mix of not only TV, music, movies, and random Gen X memories like roller skating or fan letters, for example. We're thinking of how our listeners will respond, and hopefully we're covering a wide variety of interests. That's always our intention anyway. And it sounds like we are from people telling us, I liked this one and this one and this one and this one.
Well, some of the specific episodes that people mentioned were The Carpenters, Saturday Morning Fever, Are You the Mary or the Rhoda, the Judy Blume episodes, Little Traumas on the Prairie, the Bee Gees documentary reaction, Free to Be You and Me, Roller Rink Memories, the interviews with Melissa Gilbert, as well as Karen Grassley, Yacht Rock, and Blue Lagoon. But many people, they just told us they could not pick just one.
It's just not possible, apparently. And the ones that you mentioned, those are my favorite episodes too, especially Saturday Morning Fever, because I finally had someone to talk to about Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Like how many opportunities do you get to talk about Sigmund and the Sea Monsters? And also roller skating, because the roller rink was like an incubator for us, like turning us into people, right? Our teen selves. And plus it was music, music, music. There's no talking about the roller rink without talking about music. And like Michelle said, we got so many lovely messages. Honestly, some made us cry because they were so touching. You guys are so nice. We cry a lot, actually. And we want to share several of those comments with you. Here's one from Gail, whose comments always make us smile. She's a really good society member. And she said, Little Gen Xers on the Prairie was the first episode I heard, and it completely blew my bonnet off. I was hooked. Tribute to the Mall put the cherry on top of my Wicks and Sticks Sunday. You captured the greatest mall memories from all of us. Could It Be Magic transported me to Palm Springs and the sequin-filled wonderland of Barry Manilow. From pop rocks to patriotism took me on a road trip through 1976, complete with Muskrats and the Muppet Show. And if I did Kristen Math, I would also add The Carpenters, Bee Gees, Oh God, Yacht Rock, Saturday Night Fever, Walking on Sunshine, and about 80 more. Congratulations on 100 episodes. Thank you for the joy.
Aww. Thanks, Gail.
Thanks, Gail.
Gail, you always put it so perfectly, too.
I'm so glad that she mentioned Saturday Night Fever, too, because that one was so hard.
It was.
Very much like our Purple Rain episode recently. We very casually approached this topic that actually took us way, way down the rabbit hole. And something we thought would be a light and fun conversation got extremely deep and meaningful, unintentionally. Mm-hmm. We thought this was a dancing movie. It was not. And we had so much information to process that we were all over the place. And both of those episodes, both Saturday Night Fever and Purple Rain, required multiple conversations and editing sessions to get it all straight. And by the end, I was shook. I felt changed by mm-hmm. these episodes and indebted to Saturday Night Fever and to Purple Rain for the massive contribution basically that it made to our culture at the time.
For and sure. Actually, I think, Kristen, that's a really good point because I think that's happened for sure. Those episodes took a turn we never saw coming as far as how deep they got and how much work we ended up putting into them to produce an episodes or for both of them episodes that, that turned out how we wanted them to. But don't you guys think that with a lot of the stuff we talk about, and I'm going to say like 90, 95% of the stuff we talk about, because we're viewing it through our adult lens, it does take on a different meaning. We can be talking about something as kind of superfluous as, you know, the Brady Bunch. And all of a sudden we're doing these deep dives and research and we're kind of seeing it through a different lens and it becomes even more meaningful. What starts out a lot of the times as an idea to have a fun conversation about, you know, Donnie and Marie, all of a sudden goes really deep. And I think it's because we're now talking about it at age 50 something.
Right? Yeah. And so we get surprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the episodes that we went into thinking they were going to be lighthearted and funny, like our PE, you know, our trauma PE stories and the comments we got from people who shared theirs after the fact. It was really deep. And as was A Day in the Life of a 1970s Fifth Grader, that really touched people. And the responses we got from that just blew me away. I'm thinking, oh, we're just talking about, you know, going to school and being on safety patrol. And people were really moved. So I always think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And speaking of that episode, Carolyn, our society member Chris said this to us. It's so difficult to pick just one moment or story. From the first day my friend Amy introduced me to the PCPS, I binged every episode to catch up. Wow. Chris, standing slow clap for you. are you okay? Episodes 24 and 61, because they're both the ones that original and one's the encore, A Day in the Life of a 1970s Fifth Grader, took me back. I adored how each of you shared what you wore, ate, watched, listened to, what you did in school, etc. Those questions in that episode ended up being a springboard for me to experience the same thoughts and memories in each and every episode. A day, a moment, a feeling, what I wore, what was important to me. I love giggling with the three of you when you giggle. I love singing along and, of course, shouting out answers to questions you might not immediately know the answer to. Thank you, Chris. We're hoping always that someone's doing that. Nostalgia is a powerful thing. Each episode you gift us with is like a warm hug from the past that brings me great joy. So to give you a best of is just too difficult for me. So thank you, Carolyn, Kristen, and Michelle. PCPS is simply the best of the memories from some of the best years of my life.
Oh, that's Chris, really beautiful.
Can we please use that as our new tagline? PCPS is the best of the memories from some of the best years of my life. What I really love, Chris, about your comment, and because I think you're saying what a lot of people feel, but I know for sure the three of us feel, is that you said, like that episode where we each went back and we talked about what we ate, wore, listened to, whatever. And you said that episode became a springboard for you for every episode to go back and think of it, think about that time in your life. And I think that's true because we could be talking about Christy McNichol or we could be talking about Saturday Night Fever and it absolutely transports us back into maybe a feeling of where we lived at that time, who our friends were, you know, what we were feeling, our bedroom, our childhood bedroom, whatever.
That just, this is both this comment and then and what you were talking about previous, Carolyn, shows how much the audience has a role to play in this podcast. That it's not just us making it and putting out there. It's them listening to it and bringing their own experience to it that makes it something worthwhile. So I'm not claiming that this is art or anything like that, but the question is, you know, is something a piece of art if there's nobody to respond to it?
Right,
like we really need the audience to bring their experience to this to make it an enjoyable experience for everybody, including us.
Exactly. And I do think, again, maybe this isn't art as we think of it, but I think true art is something that does speak to people where they need to be spoken to. So it's going to hit somebody mm-hmm. might have thought one episode was hysterical and they laughed and peed in their pants. And then that same episode might have hit someone else with more of a melancholy. Right, and right. I think that we can do both. And I think, again, that's what art is. So
I'm going to say
we are creating some art.
Yeah, you can take this and it can serve you however you need to in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, another one of our listeners, Robin, shared what she thought was her favorite episode. I think I've listened to all of them, so it's impossible to choose. But one that stands out is Yacht or Not. I learned so much, and now I feel like an expert. Whenever we play Yacht Rock Radio at work, I'm all, Dreamweaver is not yacht, you guys. Yes, we are here to educate. Yes. The more you know.
You are welcome.
So, that's right. Yes, exactly.
That's right.
The little rainbow flies across our screen all the time.
I felt like an expert. I was like, wow, we just like, do we get a certificate or something at the end of this?
You did. Right. Remember, I went into that episode like knowing nothing. And by the end, I gave myself, I think, a solid C. I think I was giving myself
that's
a solid
passing.
C.
Yeah. C's get degrees.
C's get mm-hmm. degrees.
That's right. That's right. And Shane, 87 Ragged Tiger, you might know him on Instagram as 87 Ragged Tiger, had some big feelings because some of these episodes felt extremely personal to him. He was the first listener to heed the call of a PCPS meetup, and he accompanied us to the Sean Cassidy concert in Chicago last summer, which was a big moment for us because it signaled to us that we were creating a community. Mm-hmm. This was a big deal. Someone cared enough to get on a plane and share a nostalgic experience with us. And he provided us with a list of his favorite episodes, and they are, number one, our tribute to the mall. That episode was 100% everything I was. It's interesting to think that each person listening to that episode shared the exact same memories as they were walking through their own completely different malls. The longing to return to those years hit hard. Mm-hmm. Number two, mm-hmm. Where the Wild Books Are. Oh, I'm so glad he mentioned that one. That one is about the picture books of our childhood.
Yeah, me too. That one gets overlooked a little bit.
I know, but it was another one that gave me all the feels. Mm-hmm. He says, some of the memories actually stopped me in my tracks. Children's book illustrations literally styled my life. Wow. Hoosker Dude, indeed. And we'll get to Hoosker Dude in just a bit. Number three, Deflowered in the Attic. I mean, laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji. So Gen X. The last one, he says, needs no ranking. Of course, it is Walking on Sunshine. I'll always treasure that moment and be so thankful to share those specific memories with pals who understand the importance of them. That's the whole point and heart of this podcast, right? Much love and many congratulations. Thanks for everything, ladies. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
We love that and are always so happy to have you be a part of our stories, like a lot of you who mm-hmm. are so lovely to share your stories with us when we ask for them. Here is what our great supporter Sloan told us. She says, always a Sophie's choice, trying to choose a favorite toy, crush, song, show, movie, or especially a PCPS episode, because I honestly am in love with them all. Music chats are always a favorite because it transports me exactly to that time and place in my life so vividly. Emotionally, I'm going to select 17 Magazine, episode 73. This magazine had such a profound influence on me from my preteen through early college years. And she goes on to tell us why. But I just love, Sloan, that it's a Sophie's choice for you to choose a favorite episode because that's relatable. We kind of feel the same way. We feel like they're all like our children. But mm-hmm. I also, Sloan, love how you categorized your favorites. You have your music favorites and your emotional favorites.
And for me, they're kind of one and the same. The music that's ones are true, always really emotional for me.
Yeah, they have been for sure. And here's a message from one of our biggest supporters. I'm sure you guys see her comments on Instagram a lot. This is our friend Diane at DMB Fan Diane. And she writes, for me, it isn't a specific episode, but all the episodes increasing my revisiting all things Gen X. I find myself listening to 70s on 7 and 80s on 8 constantly. Who needs Taylor Swift? And binging old shows, Family Ties and Love Boat. The 70s and 80s music hits with me because I could get so motion sick on the bus. I would close my eyes and listen to the echoey AM channel through the bus speakers. I wish I still had my Bee Gees 45 case and Montgomery Ward record player.
Aww. That's like, that's a very happy, sad moment. I can just imagine her on the bus and that music is like escorting her to school while she's just trying not to barf.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember she said she just concentrated on those songs that she envisions them saving her.
I just want to go back now. Diane, we're hugging little, you know, 12-year-old Diane so hard right now.
Right.
And here's a message from MP123 who references something we heard from a lot of people that makes us feel like this silly podcast about Happy Days and Stretch Armstrong actually matters. Here's what she had to say. Happy 100. How could I ever choose a favorite episode? From the opening song to the sign off to listening to you gals in between is like getting to go to the best 70s slumber party ever. Standouts for me include roller skating rink, story songs, yacht rock, the Barry Manilow concert, K-Tel. Oh, I forgot about the K-Tel one. Oh, God, I love the K-Tel. Oh, but wait, there's more. Deflowered in the Attic, Little House on the Prairie, Saturday Morning Cartoons, Tiger Beat, The Mall. Oh, it's too hard to choose. What I do know is your podcast saw me through some tough times over the last 3 years. Being in the sandwich generation of caring for and losing my parents to seeing my only child off to college all during a pandemic, your podcasts and conversations were a little welcome warm hug and a brief respite of fun childhood memories. Thank you, ladies. Love ya.
You guys, that's all. We're done. Our work here.
I know. Goodbye. I mean, seriously, our generation of people, we're carrying a heavy load right now. We're all here together. We're all the same age. And just like having the same childhood memories, we're also simultaneously sharing these sandwich generation things too. Our plates are very full, and we all need something to help us get through the day. And if we can be that for you, God bless America. I am honored to provide that
so
service.
So honored, yeah. Yes. I do feel like my work here is done. Mm-hmm. And that's the best payment we could ever get. We often joke about how we make $0 from this podcast, which is true. We make $0, but that's what we're paid in. And that, I know that can sound cliched and everything, but we mean it. You know, maybe one day it'd be great to get actual dollars from it. But for now, that's what's keeping us going, our comments like that. So thank you so much. My most memorable moments is the one most people might have missed. And it's the one that puts that E, that explicit rating, we have to work. So this came at the very, very end of our Dynamite Magazine episode, which if you've listened to it, either the original release or the encore presentation, you know it was an episode that was all kinds of silly and crazy and basically went off the rails about 4 minutes in. Honestly, we thought about pulling the plug on that recording many times and finally just said, screw it, let's just go with it. And we were so dang slappy by the end that after the sign-off, after our toast, Kristen said, while her mic was still hot, what we were all thinking. And it was so funny and so perfect, we left it in.
To good times.
To happy days.
To the Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hallelujah, motherfuckers.
Jesus. You guys, that still makes me cry with laughter. I will just fast forward that episode to play that clip for myself.
No kidding. I love it. And like you said, it summed up exactly how we felt. If you have not listened to that episode or you just need a good laugh, people, go back and listen to it because from beginning to end, it really is. I think it's our funniest one.
It's a shit show.
It could be the funniest
one. In the best way. It's a shit show in the best way.
And remember our interview with Martha? That was another great part of that episode. So Martha is our Dynamite benefactor. She found all of her Dynamite magazines in her mom's attic and generously donated them to the PCPS. And so as we're going through these magazines, we realize that little Martha has filled in all the surveys and the quizzes at the back of these magazines. And we're like, does she know this? So we invited her on the show and we quizzed her with the same exact questions. Like, Martha, do you remember who you wanted to see more of in Dynamite Magazine? Because Martha wanted to see more Bob Hope and George Burns.
But also, let's not forget. So those of you who don't know, Martha and Kristen were friends in college. They went to the same college. You guys lived on the same floor, didn't you? I
think yes,
you lived
we on did. The same floor.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, but Martha, I know we've said this to you before, but you were like the best sport because by the time we were just slappy, like I said, and you were the best sport.
She was great. That was so fun.
Okay. Getting back to that E rating, we often do put that to good use. Mm-hmm. We are women in our 50s and we're not quote unquote taking it down a notch anymore. We're done. We are done. I'm not going to be silenced anymore. And I will raise my hand and say that I might swear like a sailor on a regular basis, but the truth is I'm kind of holding back. I really say about 30% of what I really want to. So you may have heard about the hand turkey that my college roommates made for me that featured a speech bubble with curse words in it, as if that were part of my identity, I guess. I don't know. But I am not the only one who swears like a sailor at times, especially when a mistake is made while we are recording, which happens a lot. Sometimes we try and we try and we just can't get the words out of our mouths. And can you blame us if we get a little bit frustrated? There are so many naughty words that end up on the cutting room floor. And every time it happens, somebody says, we should make a blooper reel of all of our dirty words. And so today is that day. Explicit warning. If you are anywhere near small children, please put them in the closet for a moment and enjoy.
No, he wasn't born in 1956 or 46.
We watched Brady Bunch every fucking day.
What the fuck?
Fuck Jesus. Everybody shut the fuck up right now.
And is swiveling his tiny hips like he's stirring fucking cake batter with them. Uh-huh.
But I walked around like I was fucking Fern that day. Why can't I speak? What the fuck?
Ooh, motherfucker.
Yeah, say it like that. Ooh, motherfucker. Oh, gosh.
Party hat. Fuck this party hat.
Okay, that was just a few of the times that we have shared some of those words. I like to say we share them, you know, not that we throw them out. Yeah. Them. So I went back and did a little counting. Now, this isn't exact number, but no. I can tell you
this is a surprise.
Yes, we have uttered the word fuck at least 70 times.
Oh, God.
Shits. Shits were over 100. We had over 100 shits.
Yes.
The power of the transcript, you guys. You can go back and do that. So, so we are not light on our use of a couple of those words.
No. Mm-mm. But we're grown-ass women, right?
Get out
of my way.
We can say whatever the F we want.
I didn't even say it. See, sometimes I can say it. And then sometimes I'm like, that was too much, Michelle. You went too far a couple minutes ago when you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sing a song. Make it simple to last your whole life long. Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing a song.
I can tell you that our listeners know that we like to throw around the curse word, and they also know that we like to sing. Mm-hmm. And they might also know that we really cannot sing. But that never stops us. So we would like to share with you guys a few of those times that we, let's say, sang.
Seriously, it is like a compulsion. And when we do it, it's like we're just in conversation with each other and we're not thinking at all about the thousands of people who are going to be listening to us. But have you ever tried talking about the Carpenters without breaking into song? It's hard. Or Barry Manilow or the Bee Gees. It's like a goddamn sing-along over here sometimes. And even Carolyn, who swears she can't carry a tune, has absolutely no qualms about yodeling her way through a John Denver song. None. Which is the way everyone should be living their life. Dance like nobody's watching. Sing like no one is listening.
That's right.
That is what we should be doing.
Oh, I love that song.
Calypso, I sing to the spirit. The various you've been.
I don't know the words, but this is how I calypso like to sing that song.
So long and so well. Allie!
Easy like Sunday morning.
Close to you.
Big old jet out of lighter.
Don't give up on us, baby.
thanks for taking me. And I'd go, thanks for taking me
on a one-way trip to the sun.
One-way trip to the sun.
Like walking in the rain, rain and snow.
When there's
nowhere to go.
When you're feeling
like a part of you's dying.
Do you want to make love? Or do naughty. You just want to fool around?
Oh, like, sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip. Well, this is a story all about how my life got flipped and turned upside down.
Oh my gosh, Kristen, you're so right. How when we break into song, we don't realize how many thousands of people are listening. No. And I think if anything proves that, it's that clip of Calypso.
Oh God, and we just keep going.
We start yodeling. Oh my gosh.
When I listen to stage, you guys, we're on a stage and we don't think of that.
I feel like when I listened to that John Denver episode after it had been released, I was listening to it in the car with my husband. And when that part came, even he, who's used to me, he's used to me breaking into song like that all the time. He just kind of slowly turned his head and looked at me like, are you kidding me that you guys just did that? And I sort of just kind of scrunched out of my seat like, oh, yes, we did.
Someone heard us sing that in Venezuela. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. And they think that we think that's good.
We might have ruined.
Listen to us sing, you guys.
We either ruined or enhanced someone's Turks and Caicos vacation.
That's right.
I would like to say we enhanced it. Over the past 100 episodes, something kind of incredible has happened. We've developed a PCPS lexicon. Now, I think it all started really early on when Carolyn described that all over tingly feeling we often get when we remember things as nipple lightning. Kristen and I about fell off our chairs. We were like, first of all, did you just say that on the podcast? And second of all, like, what? And Carolyn, that phrase, nipple lightning, didn't you tell us that actually came from your family?
Yeah. I would sometimes, when either I was really excited or maybe get scared, I would have this like feeling that would kind of just make its way to my nipples. And I would say like, oh, and I kind of hold them. And so and when I was pregnant, it was just exacerbated. So when I was pregnant with Grace, and so my family, my husband, decided to coin the phrase nipple lightning, and
so
we still
Andy.
Use it. I mean, we would use it on the regulars, and it is so appropriate for that feeling that we get when we are talking about these meaningful childhood moments. And guess what, you guys? I learned there might be a scientific explanation for this.
Oh my God.
In terms of our nostalgic stuff, because there was some more research done, which said that, feelings of nostalgia produce actual physiological responses in the body. For instance, participants in this study, they felt warmer, and there is a huge release of endorphins that goes through your body. So that nipple lightning is for real, you guys.
Well, it doesn't say anything specifically about the tingly feeling you get in your nipples, but it's basically saying it might as well.
It says physiological. And those endorphins, I think endorphins, don't they like nipples? Don't they just travel to the nipple?
I'm going to say yes.
That's right, because you know that the areola is in the middle, don't you, Kristen?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, the areola is in the middle.
I'm sure Andy's super happy to be credited with right now, to be publicly outed too, that he is the, you know, it's all thanks
originator.
To him.
Originator, that's right.
And because we're out with the nipple lightning, like this is not something that we're embarrassed about or ashamed of or anything.
No.
Like, yes, people, your nipples get hard when you get excited, even if it's just like, you know, your dog is excited to see you or something. It's not sexual. And now when something happens, I find that I grab my boobs. Like, oh, this is so exciting. And I grab my boobs. Thanks to Carolyn.
You know, we talk a lot on this podcast about nipple lightning.
Talk about nipple lightning.
The nipple lightning is real.
Nipple lightning.
Nipple lightning.
There's no nipple lightning.
Just like nipple lightning.
Let's call it what it is. Nipple lightning.
Give me the same nipple lightning.
This is something we call nipple lightning.
Nipple lightning.
But, oh, we got nipple lightning. We talked nipple lightning. But we've also added terms and phrases that are either legit words or that have been completely made up, like one of our favorites, Manaload. And that's a term that we credit to our friend and great PCPS supporter, Gail, who came up with it when we said we needed a word to describe how we felt last December at the Barry Manilow concert that the three of us all went to in Palm Springs. And seeing him at his current age play the piano alongside a video of him in like, was like 1974, I think,
75,
playing the piano, 75. The same song. It was absolutely mind-blowing because we realized that's how we were feeling. Like our older selves are merging with our younger selves in that exact moment. And it applies to so much of what we talk about and experience now, especially doing this work we do. And so we mm-hmm. were trying to describe it. Like, what's the word we could use? And when we had been at the Manilow concert. So yeah, Gail said, how about you felt Manilowed? So now anytime Manilowed. We use Manilowed, it's because mm-hmm. it is our 50, you know, it's my 53-year-old self and my 8-year-old self at the exact same moment coming together and having this yeah. moment, sharing a moment. Yeah. yeah.
You get to have the same exact feelings that you did in that moment long ago. And it's yeah. a gift. It really is a gift.
It mm-hmm. really is.
And then we have huskerdo, which we've made into a verb, as in getting huskerdo'd. And this refers to that moment when something from your past, long forgotten, comes flying at you and smacks you in the face. So it was lost in your memory until it got triggered, probably by a photo, and then you remember it mm-hmm. hard. It's a rush. How could I have completely forgotten about something, and then 1 second later, I'm crying real tears about Mrs. Beasley? That's getting huskerdo'd. And the word huskerdo comes again from Gail. She's our lexicographer. I think I made that word up.
I like it.
Let's have dropped Gail it into our comments when people kept referring to this phenomenon. On, and we were like, we need a word for this. Gail was referencing the childhood game called huskerdo, also known as memory. Boring. Where you turn over cards trying to find a match. And the game is named for a Swedish word meaning do you remember? And it's also a local punk band from the 80s for our Minneapolis listeners out there.
Yeah, a lot of people, basically, if you want a really good example of this, if you follow us on Instagram, people get huskerdo'd all the time, especially on Fisher Price Fridays, because they'll say, I had totally forgotten about that until today. Or, oh, this made me remember we had this at my grandma's house. That's getting huskerdo'd when you had not thought of that toy or that memory in years. And then you.
Since you saw it in 1975.
Correct.
And then you're like, boom.
Right. Correct. Have you guys noticed things you say repeatedly? Because, I mean, 100 episodes, that's a lot of listening to ourselves talk. And mm-hmm. I still cringe every time I say, I've actually thought about turning it into a drinking game, but even I don't want to drink that much. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I realized, especially after going through some of the transcripts, that I say without a doubt a lot and exactly. Those are two terms I use a lot. And here's my theory on that. Because I don't say those words very often in real life or those phrases.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't it? But I think it's because you two make such wonderfully articulate thoughts and you say them. And I don't really have anything to add, but I want to feel like a part of the conversation. So instead of just saying, yeah, I'll be exactly, without a doubt.
100%.
That's right. It's like contributing without really contributing.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, you know what? Going forward now, Carolyn, come up with a few other phrases that where you can say that mean
a rotating list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then just put them on a little sticky note.
That's right.
I have two things that I say repeatedly, and I am not going to say them out loud here. Because then everybody else will hear them all the time, and you'll never be able to unhear it. So I'm not going to do that to you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I also apparently say, gives me a funny feeling in my tummy or mm-hmm. twisty feeling in my tummy a lot when I'm describing that good but nostalgic knot you get in your actual tummy when you get Manilowed or huskerdo'd. And I did not realize this until we got one of our first negative reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I'm going to read it right now to everyone. Yeah. This only came in October. And this person actually gave us 3 stars, which is pretty impressive for and this but is I'm going to go ahead and credit you because this is coming from someone who likes to be known as given a gift. And they say this.
You're welcome.
And you know what? I'm just going to tell you, yes, exactly, that given mm-hmm. a gift, you are welcome for this gift that apparently I give you repeatedly. This is her or his review they left. I just cannot take a 59-plus-year-old woman serious who uses the phrase, makes me feel funny in my tummy. It sounds gross and childish. Well, first of all, I don't think I sound like I'm 59-plus. I don't know. I just don't think I do.
No,
do I
do
sound
not.
Like I'm 59-plus? I don't really know. What is 59-plus?
I figured it out. She meant to do the zero. She meant to do the zero and she hit the nine.
You think?
A 50-plus-year-old woman.
Because it's not like I think a 59-plus, does she mean 60? Does she mean 61?
That's what I thought.
Does she mean 63? Anyway, 59 in a month? 59 in 6 months? So, first of all, you're welcome, like I said, for giving you that gift of that. But I had not realized that I do say it a lot until then. And this is terrible because I really, that does not bother me, that review. However, since October, it's all I hear. It's all I hear when I listen to old episodes or something. And so now I feel like I need to apologize for it, but I think I'm not because you know what? Things do give me a twisty feeling in my tummy.
And I
mean, you're describing a physiological thing.
Exactly. There's research for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that like 13 is a lot of times because that's what I've kind of counted of the times you've said it.
You went through and found them all?
13 is a lot. Out of 100, though, probably not.
Yeah. And there's 10%, a few times 13%. You say it like repeatedly in one episode. So
13% of our
okay,
episodes
Carolyn,
have you feeling twisty
now.
In your tummy.
Carolyn keeps going with the stats. I'm like doing the like my hands going across my neck right now. Like, stop, Carolyn.
Oh, my God.
But I just want to also say that there are so many more Apple reviews that give me a warm, lovely, delicious feeling in my tummy. And we want you to know that we do read every one of them, even the negative ones. We only have two, though. And sometimes we read them multiple times just, you know, for our, you know, bedtime reading, read alouds. We're just so honored that so many of you not only spend your valuable time listening to our conversations, but that you then take a moment to write a review on Apple Podcasts telling others why they should listen, which really is how our little show gets heard.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Okay, it's my turn to share my favorite moment of the last 100 episodes. And even though there were many, many times that I was really held in the moment and just wanted to like roll around in it forever, there is one that stands out. It's probably the least meaningful of all the memories, but it was one that made me laugh the hardest. I can just think about this and I will laugh out loud. Oh, and Mike's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's from our electric company episode. And poor Carolyn is trying to explain a familiar sketch that we all know where a plumber knocks on the door and is answered by a cheeky parrot on the inside. And Michelle and I cannot stop acting out. See, she's doing it right now. She's doing it right now. We can't stop acting out the sketch. And Carolyn is trying to keep talking and we're just steamrolling right over her. And she's like,
the plumber.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, what the accent?
We're not
done.
It's the faucet. It's the plumber.
Listen to this.
Who is it?
It's the plumber. I've come to fix the sink. And anytime.
It's the plumber. I come to fix the sink.
Yeah, see, you're so good at that. But anytime
I can't stop saying it.
Anytime I hear who is it, I want to say.
Who is it?
It's the plumber. I've come to fix the sink.
It's the plumber.
Okay.
I come to fix the sink.
I am. You're good at the little in-person.
It's the plumber.
Who is it?
Yeah. Who is it? It's the plumber.
It's the plumber.
I come to fix the sink.
Right. And he has to say that over and over again. And he is becoming.
Clearly, we still enjoy it.
We'll keep saying it.
He's becoming increasingly.
Don't you dare dub that in.
It's the plumber. I come to fix the sink.
See, we can't stop.
I love it.
We can't stop. I'm just like, I'm picturing my parents in the front seat. Like, if you kids don't stop by the time I count to three, I'm going to pull over.
But what I love is that Carolyn is trying to also, she's like not laughing about it. She just keeps trying to bring us back. She just keeps trying to bring us back. Like, please, God, just let them stop.
Just make the children stop.
There was no stopping us.
What if I did that at a party? Like, what if you just start going,
it's the plumber. I come to fix the sink.
It's right up there with, and we'll play this clip as well, but with the Brenda Vaccaro tampon moment in our 17
tampons
magazine.
So then we go into the biscuits. There was
this. Glad you're doing that roll. Voice.
And people, I feel bad if there's anybody out there who doesn't know who Brenda Vaccaro is, because we think it's the funniest thing that has ever been uttered.
Oh, and we just butcher it too.
Tampons.
So enjoy that clip as well. There was an ad. It was for Playtex tampons. And the spokesperson, I don't know if you'll remember this name, was Brenda Vaccaro.
Oh, my God. Totally, yes.
With the smoky voice. Yes.
I don't know.
My Playtex tampons.
I mean, I actually went on to see, like, was she in? Riding.
Swimming.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so anyway, I just had to laugh. Like, we were going to go run and buy those because she...
Brenda Vaccaro?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
She's our period role model.
Right, exactly.
Mom, Brenda Vaccaro says I can wear tampons too.
Well, one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast and having these conversations is how much emotion it brings out. Mm-hmm. It's in a good and cathartic way. I think I have cried more happy and nostalgic tears during these episodes than I have since I actually lived through all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about our grandparents and our parents. And if you guys remember, I think I've said to you several times that I feel closer to my dad, who died in 2001, over the past couple of years of doing this podcast, than I have ever felt. It is the closest I have felt to him because he's such a part of many of these meaningful memories that we share.
Yeah. Yeah. My therapist has gotten so much more Michelle time in the past 2 years than she had the year prior to us starting this podcast. And that's not a negative thing. Sometimes it's just, it brings up a lot, and it brings up a lot of things, memories you forgot and feelings you forgot.
And sometimes it's just because the thing that we're talking about was so meaningful to us or had such a big impact on us at a really important time in our life. Maybe it's just a small detail. It's not a big important event. It's just a song. It's just one song. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why would a certain song make you cry when it's about something happy, but it's connecting you to something that you were feeling a long time ago? Right. Yeah. It can be really powerful.
Yeah. Without you know what it can do? You know what it can do, Kristen?
Yeah,
I was just about to say, you say without a doubt, I was just about to say, you know what it can do, Kristen? It can almost give you like a twisty feeling in your tummy.
Yes. All of that.
Well, if you guys think we sound like we have our shit together during these conversations, you can't even believe the number of blunders that happen every single recording. Sometimes we leave a small one in the episode because it's funny and you know, we don't want you to think we're too perfect. But sometimes one of us, Carolyn, has to start over again and again and again, which makes her super frustrated and say necessary words and makes Kristen and I love it. We love it.
So enjoy a few of our bloopers.
Welcome to game night. Okay, stop.
Welcome to game night. My name is Suzanne.
Or no, what was the girl's name?
Brenda Vaccaro.
Brenda Vaccaro. Oh,
yeah. I swear, that's what we have to send in. If we ever have to send in a clip for, like, you know, consideration for the potty awards, I swear it has to be that thing. I'm so
Brenda
funny.
Vaccaro.
You know, I can laugh all day. Okay.
Okay, that did get the gunk out of my throat.
Two happy days.
No, you did happy days.
How do it's I
happy,
say it?
Happy days.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Two happy days. Okay.
Happy days are here again.
Happy days. Okay. Two happy days. Two happy days. Okay. Two happy days.
And now it's time for our toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Line. What is mine? What? Oh, shit.
You've only said it like 500 times.
Obviously, none of it. The first issue hit news. The 1965 was when the first issue hit news.
Nude stance. Get your mind out of the gutter, Carolyn.
The first issue featuring the Righteous Brothers hit news.
And in this podcast, we are dedicated to preserving the unsung shit. Sit right. Wait, shit.
Ooh, that, that was past my bedtime.
Our memories
So you guys, I guess the closing question to ponder is this. What do you hope the next 100 episodes will bring?
Well, I know that I still would like to get some of our bucket list guests on this podcast. I'm looking at you, Sean Cassidy, mm-hmm. and Christy McNichol. That would be such a bonus. And I want to continue to learn and grow and maybe get our podcast up on YouTube. That's mm-hmm. one of the things on my list for the next 100 episodes. What about you, Michelle?
Yeah, I think honestly just more of the same, you know, the same fun, the same silliness, the same dedication, the same emotional connections. But also, I want more people to share in this joy. And to do that, I think we need Hoda, you guys. I think if everyone could just send a nice word about our podcast to Hoda Kotb, care of the Today Show, or Hoda and Jenna, because we know she would love it and love us. And then she can help us spread the joy because I don't know, but she might have more people that listen to her than we do. What do you guys think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
A thumbs up. I think that's a great idea, Michelle.
Yeah. I love her. We all love her. Who doesn't love Hoda?
Yes. Who doesn't love Hoda? Okay, here's what I hope to bring in the next 100 episodes. We're kind of the forgotten generation. We've been neglected and left to take care of ourselves since we were given a house key on a string to wear around our necks, right? Mm-hmm. We were and still are the latchkey kids, silently taking care of everything. And I look forward to getting noisier and calling attention to the things that are important to us. We're speaking for millions of Gen Xers who've been told that no one cares who Marcia is or how she broke her nose. And we simply won't let people ignore us or forget about the things we loved. I look forward to making Gen Xers visible with a culture that is known. And in so doing, we find each other and celebrate each other and comfort each other and validate each other and hold each other up. That is what we are here for. Thank you so much for listening, not just today, but for the last 100 episodes, and hopefully for the next 100 episodes, and the next, because there ain't no stopping us now.
We're on the move. We love you guys for listening and for sharing our podcast with others, Hoda. And an extra big thank you to those of you who take the minute to click those stars and leave a review. That is hugely important to our show if you like what you hear. And to our supporters on Patreon, we honestly could not keep doing this without you. You are our pit crew who gives this truck all the power. Today, we are thanking these wonderful patrons, Megan, Melanie, Felicia, Beth, Colleen, Mark, Erica, MP, Robin, Susie, Lydia, and Donna. And if you'd like to take your support, and if you'd like to take your support to the next level and learn about the fun, exclusive content you get by being a Patreon supporter, just go to patreon.com and type our name up in the search bubble, or you can find links on our website at poppreservationists.com or in our Linktree link in our Instagram bio.
In the meantime, let's close with a toast to these incredible 100 episodes and to the next 100. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers!
Cheers! Clapping. Applause. Woo! Applause. Woo! Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you. Something always happens whenever we together.